Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, friends of the feather. I am Craig Borden here, your host on the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of fanside.com. I am here with my co-host, Jason Lyons, tonight. How are we doing, buddy?
Real good, man. It's weather's been absolutely killer out here. A lot of baseball going on. Feels like baseball. The Canadians have been playing and winning. And it's just, spring has sprung and it's quite nice out. Loving it.
Yeah, and then the best part is we actually get to talk, regardless of the fact that we just missed another sweep, we get to talk that the Blue Jays have won 3 series in a row. So Cito baseball is in full swing, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, the wins have been impressive. They certainly have, after the first couple of stinkers, they've really sort of turned things around. I know there's been a lot of talk about how significantly and how quickly they did make some of those turns, like especially the difference between the first series in the Bronx and then playing them at home. And I know that the dirtbag announcers for the Yankees are calling us cheaters, but if you got a payroll that big and you can't beat the Jays, maybe I would think they were cheating too. But
Jason, you brought it up. Lay it out. Yeah. Let's talk it out, because I've been a biggest fan of having to listen to the Yankees fans bullshit here in Rochester, New York, for as many years as I can humanly possibly comprehend. I am wearing Bills gear a little bit tonight, so I was like, I feel like wearing a little bit of a thicker sweatshirt because it's all of a sudden like cold here in Rochester. So what did you hear in the midst of this whole thing? I had been the biggest Michael Kay fan forever.
So, I mean, I think the whole thing was that the announcer, Michael Kay, was saying he was surprised that they look like an absolutely different team, fouling balls off where they were striking out and all this other stuff. And I mean, some might just think that that's just a team improving, after the first couple of weeks and you come back from spring training and then, you got to get the wheels on the bus and get going. And then others take it as something like that. I mean, I always find it funny. There's teams in every sport that are the same. Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees, the New York Rangers to an extent, the Leafs. There's all these teams that it's either we're flying high or the whole world's against us. And there's no real in between. Like, it's funny to watch some of the juxtaposition of the NHL playoffs right now and some of the juxtaposition of the teams who are doing really well in the MLB right now. There's teams that are way outperforming their medal right now, and good for them. Like, why not celebrate the teams that are doing well? And then there's other teams like the Padres who were you know, in the next series is with, who've been a total mixed bag. Like, I mean, you know, they're a good team. They can't seem to put more than two wins together. But when they do win, they seem to be pretty impressive wins, which sounds like a team that I know that wears blue that we talk about.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, the whole Yankee thing, it's always bothered me the fact that the Yankee fans feel like it's them against the world, when the only reason it is that way is because they're so repellent that people want to keep them at arm's length. So, I mean, you know, they can cry all they want, and they can make up as many excuses as they want. I mean, they're the ones that built a building with a short porch and expect, you know, like, what do you expect? You expect to win when you're in a little league diamond, right? Like, I mean, it's go ahead. But then when you play in big boy baseball, maybe you don't hit them out so much. And maybe the pitchers, you know, realize that the Judge and Stanton are only trying to hit them out. And so if you pitch around them, or if you pitch insides or drop balls on them, maybe they're not so damaging.
So thanks to our friends at jaysjournal.com. I do have the exact quote in front of me. And so this is the conversation is him and I think it's John Singleton. He's like, I'm not seeing the other name of the gentleman. I think that's who it was on the show. You know what's curious to me though, John, referring to the other gentleman we broadcast with. We just saw the Blue Jays in the Bronx, and we watched what was a completely different team than one we've seen here in Dream. That's Michael Kay saying that. And the one in New York did not fall off the amount of pitches that this team did. It looks like a different team in this ballpark. Keyword, this ballpark. You know what I mean? So to that point of, it is a home field advantage thing. But at the end of the day, we've seen the ups and the downs. And when we went to the Bronx, we already saw the down, right? We had been beaten at that point. You know, you were post the Houston Astros mess.
Yeah.
At least, you know, no hit the series before that. Things change. This is why you show up to the ballpark every day, to hope you have a chance to win and have some fun, right?
And later on, he goes on to say about, you know, the Jays are using AI and they're using technology to well, who isn't? Like, in this day, have you watched a hockey game or a baseball game? Like, as soon as something happens, they're all on the iPad trying to figure out what happened. They're, you know, they can call it any
point. You see Aaron Judge and everybody doing that just as much as anybody else at the end of the day. So,
in fact,
no, I agree with you.
It's if you're going to use the technology to your advantage, I mean, there's certain pitchers that throw the same pitch more than other pitches. And if you can start to figure out a pattern or a rhythm or whatever, it's on the pitcher to break that rhythm up. I mean, we bring this up with our kids all the time. Like the pickoff move to first base or second base, you can't have any kind of tells. You can't have any kind of movement that tips them to be able to steal the base. You have to be robotic, ironically. So if you can keep your tells to a minimum, but I challenge you to find a pitcher somewhere that doesn't have some kind of tell.
Or, well, case in point, Kevin Gausman's wondering if he's been doing that again with the ups and downs he's had so far this season. I want to go back to that Yankee thing, though, for a minute. So you hear this comment, you hear this nonsense, and to your point, the things everybody in Major League Baseball is doing to get that quote-unquote competitive edge, right? You're telling me that the Blue Jays were somehow in on the fact that Luis Gill could not find the freaking plate to save his life in the first game? He walked seven guys. We should have won that game in wholeheartedly a lot worse than 3-1 with him doing what he did the other night on the hill.
And I mean, it also comes down to the fact that you've got a guy like Justin Turner who's been able to talk to the team now for a couple of weeks and be like, hey guys, like I've been on some of the best pitch selecting teams that baseball's ever known. And I'm a part of that. I have really great pitch selection. And whether JT is going to continue at the rate he's going at right now or not, he will be able to help these guys. Like, he's constantly talking to Bo, and Bo has a better at bat. He talks to Vladdy. Vladdy has a better at bat. It's a game of patience. And if you can outwait some of these, you know, these pitchers that are trying to get you to hit ground balls, you will turn those ground balls into hard contact, which turns into extra bases. I mean, the Jays they didn't reinvent the wheel, and they're certainly not cheating. And for the accusation of a obviously either an ill-informed or, you know, an egomaniac that thinks that he can just go out and throw things out there and them stick, it's ridiculous. You know, so
can I be politely just blunt here for a million years here? Blue Jays have been a team for how long, right? You Blue Jays lived through the steroid era, a million one things. It's about time, if we do have a competitive edge, even if it is dancing in a gray area, it's about fucking time it's in our favor for a change. Like I said, I hate to say it that way, but if you talk about all these things and all what everybody's been doing to each other over the years, you never hear this stuff with the Blue Jays. It's always the most elaborate, ridiculous level thing with like the man in white, which, by the way, Michael Kay was really pushing.
Yep.
Back when you're telling me some jackass in left center field is just in the perfect eye for Jose Bautista, not to mention can see something from that far away. Oh no, he's not seeing it from that far away. He has 15 people relaying it to him, and just in time for Jose Bautista to hit a home run.
Yeah, because that's the kind of time that you have in between. Ridiculous. By the way, just yeah, so the viewers who are thinking that it's a split second between the ball being released, you got nothing but time up there. You have 6-7 minutes between pitches.
Yeah, and especially now, we have even less time.
I know, it's idiotic.
Relay anything with the pitch clock and everything, which is something I do want to talk to you later in the show here. I do want to touch where we were going there for a second, though. The bats have woken up a little bit with some certain guys. Hard contact thing is happening. The patient at-bats are happening. And the poster child of this movement right now is somebody that we never get a chance to really talk about on this show. And as Dalton Varsho has had the best week ever in his Toronto Blue Jays existence at this point. Home runs, 8 RBIs, and batting, you know, 6 hits and over 17 at bats. That is insanely good. And he even threw in a couple of walks and a stolen base just to call it a day. And to that point, he was very key in all the games against the Yankees, including yesterday, with the reason that we had a couple of home runs from him. And they look great.
Yeah.
What's key with him, man? Well, I think it's that exact conversation.
Yeah, I feel like JT, you know, again, I'll reference Turner again, but I feel like, you know, like when Dalton Varsho was traded, all we heard was baseball IQ, and this guy is just an absolute unit, and you know, he's gonna come in and he's gonna hit smash doubles all day long. He's gonna steal bases. He's gonna be your best player and your outfielder, all this other stuff, and we just didn't see it. And I think, you know, and I don't know if it was something, you know, mental for him or whatever it was. It even looks like the burden of baseball has been lifted off him, you know, bigger smiles and bigger, you know, and you know, making plays defensively in the outfield too, as well. Like, let's not forget that. Like he's been a good, I mean, I think Schneider's probably been our best outfielder, but you know, Varsho has been excellent.
He's saying a lot too, by the way.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, you know, Schneider.
I'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been unbelievable. But I mean,
he's playing his game. Yeah. I really think we're finally seeing that.
He's having a little fun. Baseball's supposed to be fun.
It's infectious how when you get on a streak or get on a win, you know, with a team in a winning environment. And like I said, this was the third straight series that they've won the series.
Yeah.
Jason, I know everybody's saying and gloom and doom, and then obviously we'll get to the bullpen mismanagement piece a little bit for how we blew the game yesterday. But the fact that we've said it a million one times, and it's mostly just the upbringing that you and I and Ken have had on this show, with the fact that C.O. Gaston is the epitome of Blue Jays management, and the mantra that he always preached was win series and it'll get you to the playoffs. Yep. Right now, that's 3 series wins in a row and looking in the right direction. This team is, like I said, it's still got its quirks and everything, Jason, but it's not all gloom and doom right now and trending in the right direction.
And they did win 4 in a row too, which I mean is always a positive. I mean, whenever you can win anything more than 2 in a row, I mean that's good positive points moving forwards, and you're taking away points from another team, hopefully one in your division. I mean, it's, you know, those become crucial, you know, 3 months from now, where it's like, hey, remember when the Jays won those 5 series to start the season? I mean, look at a team. There's teams all over the place that have really big struggles at the start of the season, and they can't ever get out of them. And if you can continue to win series, you know, pump wins in, by the time October rolls around, you'll be in good stead. I mean, you want to make sure that you've seen a good portion of the pitchers out there, and you want to make sure that you've had a good competitive game against most of those top arms, because that's what you're going to run into. And I mean, I feel that was part of the problem with Minnesota, is the Jays just were not super familiar with Minnesota, and they kind of went into it like, nah, you know, like we'll get by. And they didn't.
No big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, this year as a, you know, you're starting to see a lot more, like Don Mattingly is much more involved this year than he was last. Like, he's walking two guys,
he's stopping guys.
He's
a coordinator.
I know. He's stopping guys from going up to at bats. And you can even see him having conversations with guys defensively. And again, you know, I feel like the addition of Justin Turner, where, you know, not to take anything away from Brandon Belt, but I think that JT just has a little deeper breadth of baseball, where Brandon Belt might be a good baseball player. I feel like JT is a complete baseball guy, where, you know, JT is what Bo Bichette is going to be 10 years from now. Like, Bo Bichette is just
going to
be,
or he's going to his 40s.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be that guy that has so much baseball knowledge and has played a lot of games and has a ton of skill still, and can still, you know, get you hits and can get on base and all this other stuff. And, you know, for me, when and I'll be honest, when we traded for Justin Turner, I was kind of like, meh. And now I'm like, wow, like, I can see why he was so important to the Red Sox, to the Dodgers, and why they fought to keep him until they really felt like they couldn't anymore.
Catch on that whole thing is when he signed with the Red Sox last year. Think about that. The Blue Jays were in on Justin Turner in free agency last season. If you had Turner in that lineup last year with 90-something RBIs, he was in his 38-age season, and he had the most RBIs he's ever had in a season last year.
Yeah.
And I saw some insane stats the other day on MLB Network with Mark DeRosa was talking about how Turner – just has the smooth swing that he does for the when he gets to the ball quick, is why his game has lasted as long as it has into his age 39 season with the Blue Jays. He had the fifth most hits over the last week for the Blue Jays with five.
He's leading the team in average. It's really impressive, actually. I mean, he's doing it. He's even, when they put him in to play defense, he's not a liability. And I don't think you could say the same for Vogelbach. I don't think you can put Vogelbach out at one and have him not be a liability. He means a liability. He's, you know, nice enough guy, it seems like. But, the Brofest in the dugout will end at some point, and Vogelbach's going to have to go because he's not an effective part of what this team needs to be. And I don't know what that person is. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if it's Joey Votto, or, you know, looking down to Buffalo to see who is, you know, is sort of that next guy. Is it, you know, is it Barger? Well, I can't believe how well some of those teams are playing. Like, you know, normally at that level, you see a lot of shotgun, a lot of sporadic stuff. And there's four or five teams down there that are just dominating right now.
And last week they were saying that Addison Barger won the player of the week the first week of the season. Aramis Martinez apparently won the second week. And just to put that out there, Aramis Martinez is last week. So going up to today, obviously, he's got a mere two home runs, nine RBIs. He's batting .316. Yeah. And then your favorite namesake here for Domingo Pamaligian. E. Got the E at the end.
Yep.
.350, two home runs, six RBIs. Nathan Lucas, .294 over the last week. One home run, four RBIs. Addison Barger also batting .294, five RBIs. Noticing a trend?
Yeah.
There's going to be some things that are forcing some pieces there.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of it. You know, I love it. I really like when we look to raise the floor. You know, if you raise the floor, you know, to go to Cito, if you raise the floor and then win the series and win more series than the other guys, you'll be in good stead at the end of the season. And I know that Jays fans, along with you and me, have been disappointed about the end result. But you know, if you can look at it as a little bit of growing pains to try and make sure, I feel like this team is poised to really have a good positive season. They're not going to kill anybody. They're not going to be 15 games in first place, you know, at any point during the year. But I don't think the playoffs will be a question. I think that it'll be more where they end up. And then, you know, hopefully they're pushing and challenging and continuing to use the assets that they do have in a positive way. And you know, I like Danny Burgers, and I like the fact that he's there, but he's got to go. I mean, if he's not going to be an effective part of the team, you have to have bodies in there that can do jobs. And so,
like we've talked about, I think he's a long-term placeholder for Votto, which I was just double-checking as I hadn't heard anything in a week. There's still no timetable for him getting into games in Buffalo or wherever at this point.
Yeah.
Still resting the ankle. So, well, it doesn't say he's not doing baseball activities, but he's not in games yet.
Right, right.
So, but at the end of the day, I think if you're looking for what you would want in that spot where Vogelbach is right now, you're looking to want that Brandon Belt person, right? Right. Joey Votto is that Brandon Belt person. If Vogelbach gets hot in the next few weeks while he still has a chance, then fine, great. I just don't know where in the hell he even works into this lineup, where if you can't get somebody in the lineup, I'd still rather have Votto be the guy off the bench. But
yeah, I mean, I think that that's, I agree with you. I think that's what it's going to come down to, I think, at some point. But again, I mean, if they have to bring up Dom, or if they have to bring up Barger, or if they have to bring up, you know, Nathan Lukes or whoever, I say go for it. Like, I mean, we've proven that the Buffalo boys can play. Everyone that they've brought up pretty much has had success. And I mean, I'm all for it. Keep coming. Keep them coming. Like, keep these guys on their toes when it comes to being, you know, on the MLB roster and guarantee, you know, feeling like they have a guaranteed spot.
Just put this in a point. Look at Ernie Clement and, Schneider right now fighting it out for freaking playing time, and their roommates.
Yeah.
You tell me there's not any nights that they're up yelling at each other going, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
You can stay down for the day. It's my turn to play tomorrow. I hit a home run today. Well, what did you do? Well, I made three diving catches at third and whatever it might be. These Clements, that's the one thing that, you know, we've talked about Ernie Clement on this show a lot, but there's been some very, very impressive plays he's made at third base to get guys out or keep a game saving hit over the last few weeks. And to that point, we already know Captain Clutch has been Davis Schneider at this point. But to that point, I wanted to mention one other thing is last year, you know, we all saw the mustaches with Davis Schneider. You know, it's the redheaded friends that we've been seeing popping up in some of these home games with the Justin Turners.
Yeah. I love it.
Didn't see our friends in the hot dog suits wearing any red beards to go with their hot dogs the other night. But
wow, those guys are sure getting a lot of play on the advertisements though for the stuff that's coming up during the year. I mean, they're in every commercial that the Jays have pretty much.
When you're crushing, I think their counter last night or the other night was 20 hot dogs in like the freaking seventh inning between the two of them. So at that point, go ahead, keep doing it. I hope they're having fun, because like I said, we'll have to get them back on the show here in the near future, because they were a good group to be goofing around with here on the show.
A couple of my buddies have instituted that the next Canadians game we're going to do the 9-9, which sounds like a daunting task, but you know, I feel like I'm up to it.
Yeah, luck with that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe we'll do a time lapse and I'll see how that goes.
Yeah, just see, watch you grow, go downhill so ever so slowly, like a slow motion guillotine.
Yeah.
Good times. But hey, that's what happens. And like I said, when the team's playing well and everybody's having fun, that's what a Tuesday night loony hot dog night would look like, right?
You're darn right.
So, I wanted to go back a little further in time before we just destroy what happened with the Yankees series a little bit further here. Especially, like I said, I want to talk about how the game ended last night. Rockies series, outside of the huge embarrassing failure that was the beginning game. What were your takeaways from watching some of those games, Jason? Did that lose you?
Yeah, for a second.
There you go. So, Goss unfortunately got touched up again in that first game. Maybe not.
There.
There you go. Maybe not. Kind of, sort of. So, while you're getting your new location here, your Bell internet to go back to normal, Kevin Gausman got touched up for 6 earned runs in that game, 3.2 innings, 10 hits. There you are. Struck out 4, didn't walk anybody, but clearly the Colorado Rockies got to him and figured something out. Nolan Jones had a home run and a few others. So what are you thinking? Do you think he's tipping his pitches or something, Jason? So let's dive into that whole thing, because like I said, unfortunately the Blue Jays did only score four runs in that first game against the Rockies. They did find out ways to win the second game and then shut them out on the Sunday to end the series. Like I said, it was some good pieces there. And the one I really, really wanted to talk out with you, Jason, and I'm hoping you come back here, is the fact that we finally saw the major league debut of Yayrod. So Yariel Rodriguez jumps up to the majors after getting a decent showing down in the minor leagues with Buffalo. And he very well might have stole that job, Jason, I think, from Bowden Francis, unfortunately, after that first start. Didn't get too deep, but he wasn't expected to. Can you actually hear me now?
Hey, you there?
I am. I was wondering if you really were.
I can't. Mine's my interweb seems to be fine, but I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. So regardless, where I was saying, the real reason I wanted to talk about the actual series against the Rockies was to say the fact that we might have a new fifth starter.
Yeah, finally saw Yayrod.
He was electric.
Yeah, looked great. You know, and I like the fact that he was able to handle the moment. I mean, he is, 27 years old or 28 years old, right? Something like that. So he's been there before. He's pitched in probably in decently sized games in Japan. So
he was in the World Baseball Classic a few years ago.
That's so true as well.
That's probably the biggest.
Yeah. I was overly impressed with the way that he you know, controlled the game. I thought he pitched excellently. I thought he really picked his spots to try and take chances. Well caught game, by the way, too. I think that has to be mentioned. Nice to see Danny Jansen back over the over the last series as well. And too bad he dropped that ball, because Schneider threw that guy out by 15 or 20 feet. But that being said, I feel like he made up for it. He made a couple of really good blocks and a couple of good plays. He's just so sound back there. Not that Kirk isn't, but I feel like he just gives the team a whole different look. And he's a little bit more threatening than Kirky is, I think.
But then at the end of the day, but like I said, let's go back to Yayrod for here a second.
Yeah, yeah.
He ended up three and two-thirds innings in his debut, because they wanted, I think he was limited to like 80 pitches or something like that. They didn't want to go nuts, yeah, because they're going to keep building him up in that right direction. He ended up only throwing 68, but they were saying this is his cap. Found a nice spot there with everything to be able to move him around. So he pitches that. 4 hits were allowed, the one home run being really the only blemish on the whole thing on his major league debut. 2 walks and 6 strikeouts in 3 and yep. 2/3. That's the part that stood out to me, because that just means his pitches were moving. And we saw this was the night after the Rockies had a slugfest against Gausman.
Yeah.
So they were ready to hit.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where I really like Buck Martinez as the game was going on. He's like, geez, they're going to run out of baseballs every time he does something different. They got to throw another one into the, so, I mean, it's, you know, it's good to see, fun to watch. I like it when a guy steps up and, you know, sort of lives up to the hype a little bit, even though it was a short outing. I'm very interested to see how he goes next. I feel like Kikuchi is really, the straw that's stirring the drink right now. And everybody's feeding off him. And a guy like A-Rod, I mean, he's going to have nothing but positives to come out of watching that guy just get up there and dominate. He is fazed by nothing right now. Nothing.
Yeah. I want to go into that because that was actually the next topic. So segue points, my friend. We've talked about, yeah, exactly. We've talked about how Jose Barrios has been infinitely amazing. And to that fact, how good Barrios has been doing has completely overshadowed what has been a stellar out of the gate performance for Yusei Kikuchi over his first four starts. He's thrown 21 and 22 innings, struck out 29, guy.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Crazy. They both look, they're both so good right now.
Yes. And the funny thing is, like, if you look, you can almost stack their stats on top of each other. The only difference in anything really on top of the two is that Barrios has given up one extra home run, but two less earned runs. Mind you, Kikuchi's only given up the one home run, which was, as you and I are more than well aware, part of his kryptonite the last few years.
Yeah.
And he might have put that to bed. But like I said, if you stack the two, if I showed you the two stats lines between Barrios and Kikuchi, if you didn't know any different, I don't think you would ever have guessed that the one stat line was actually Yusei Kikuchi's.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, they've both been beast-like. They've both been really dominant in the moment, and they have shown no fear to any batter. Home runs aren't phasing them. Giving up a couple of runs or a bad pitch that they don't get the call on, not phasing them. Just truck on. Just keep rolling, keep pushing, and it's really nice to see. I mean, Gosman's struggling right now. He's gonna have to have what do they say, a go to church moment or a see God moment,
Jesus
or
meaning.
Yeah, something like that. It's
I lost you again. I tell your kids to stop playing Fortnite, guy. I agree. Kikuchi has been inflammable. Gossman has been in crazy. We're going to get that hopefully back on track, and Gossman ends up becoming the Gossman ace that he actually has been. You got to forget, too, that, he hasn't had a spring training. So when Gossman's been doing what's been going on, this is really his dead arm, getting ready for spring training innings that you would have eaten up here with what Kevin Gossman's got on the plate. He's only gotten four starts, but he's only gotten 14.1 innings. That would have been what he would have thrown this spring, Jason. It's not the fact that he's behind the ball. We know he was hurt all spring and only got really that one start. And it was nowhere near as long as it would have normally been for the last start in spring training. Don't forget that. The Blue Jays fans are sitting here struggling with the fact that Kevin Gossman's, what's wrong with him? And it's like, well, no, he's a month behind the rest of the guys.
Yeah. And I mean, very few people will give, even that amount of rope to our starters, like the top five get very little rope. I think he'll probably be, I hope he'll be fine. It looks like mechanically he's there. It just looks like he's just missing his spots a little bit. And that's, like you said, that's what spring training.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
We'll be right back.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hones in is you hitting your spots. And, you know, the difference between a changeup that bounces off the plate and the guy swings at, you know, like a donkey, or one that hangs in there and he puts into the parking lot is a very fine line.
Very fine line.
Anybody who dances with off-speed stuff knows that. I mean, you know, a 97-mile-an-hour heater is a 97-mile-an-hour heater, but you can pretty much throw it anywhere. But if you are off with something that's off speed, you know, it's either the guy looks goofy or you look goofy watching it go out.
So I want to touch on the fact here that let's talk bullpen. We saw the return of Jordan Romano. We saw the return of Eric Swanson, Nate Pearson, one of the guys that unfortunately found the roster spot moving down to the minors, which he was actually doing pretty well. So I'm hoping that some of the other things were shaking out here in the right direction. Like I said, it's great to get those two guys back, but there's some pieces to this puzzle in our bullpen, which we know is a good bullpen, but maybe some of these things are also not clicking perfectly. The ups and downs of Tim Mayza is one of the ones that is scaring me more than a lot. We saw it looked like it was starting to trend in the right direction, and then you saw it come all back into full force yesterday afternoon against the Yankees, and which was a complete bullpen implosion to lose that game to sweep the Yankees. So yeah, I don't know if you're looking at anything in that bullpen, buddy, but
I feel like there's been a few guys that have struggled more than the norm. And it's, you know, I don't know what the right thing to do is at this point, because some of those guys are certainly not spring chickens. And so, you know,
well, your internet doesn't like you talking tonight, man.
But, you know, it is what it is, you know, and I think the big hope is that that those guys can start to push through and start to get some of those crucial innings. I mean, you know, if you do it every six games, then whatever. But it's when it's starting to happen sort of back to back. Like Romano looked good, but he didn't look great. You know, like he came as close as you can.
Spring training, same thing.
Handing that game back, and I mean, you can rely on the no spring training thing for a while, but you certainly get to a point where you're like, okay, you're a professional. Let's get it done. Like, I know that.
Make it going.
Yeah. The difference between that and, you know, you should be using your off days to throw extra baseballs if you're, you know, if you didn't have spring training, and the Jays should be set. I mean, baseball teams are savvy enough now that they should be able to get those guys the innings that they need, even when they're up.
I think that was where they were going. I really do think that was the reason they, you know, obviously we had a save opportunity, so I'm not worried about that in game two there against the Yankees, would bring Romano out and lock it down like normal, right? Yeah, he had some bumps, but he got there. Yep. I didn't know what to think about Swanson coming out in that point of the game yesterday. It seemed odd to me. I'm like, I was frantically looking through papers and seeing, I'm like, did they use Chad Green too many days in a row there for that? Because that was the person I really wanted out there with how good he's been. And he's been think of this bullpen if we didn't have Chad Green.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So I was like, well, God, who the hell did he? I knew he pitched one of the games, but he didn't pitch the Kikuchi game in game two. So I was sitting there going, get an off day.
And Trevor Richards has really struggled as well. You know, he's, I don't know if it's the gray hair that throws me off, but he looks old.
He's not as old as his hair looks.
I know. He looks old and slow right now, and he's not hitting his spots. And when he does, he gets tattooed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a battler.
He's a little better than a few of those names we just threw out there, though. That's the other funny battle. So
he's always going to battle.
I was curious what he was when you, now that you brought that up, I can't find the age quick enough. So, but to that point, like I said, you know, you look through the pitching stats here. The rest of our bullpen, Cabrera has gotten in seven games. He's got an 8.22 ERA. He's given up seven earned runs. Tim Mesa, same thing, seven earned runs, 6 2/3 innings. You know, sad that, you know, IKF has a better ERA than most of these guys and has given up less hits. So, and I just think it's funny. It also shows him on the pitching stats.
That's awesome. I saw a really hilarious, as a quick aside, a really hilarious comparison between IKF and Chapman to this point in the season. And IKF is literally like, I mean, they're dead. It's almost a dead heat, but IKF is beating him in like every different category, and you're like, and they're, what are, what's the comparison? I think it's 56 million to 7 million or something like that.
Yeah,
like, so
now were those with the stats that Chapman currently has in San Francisco or compared to his last season with the Blue Jays? This is about what he ramped up last year.
This season in San Fran, I think.
Gotcha, because he's doing, just to put that bow on it, yes. There was a very vast difference in price there, like you said, and he looked rough until I saw him finally hit a double on quick pitch on MLB Network this morning.
Yeah.
So, I do want to give another good shout out here for, we were just talking about how important Chad Green was to this bullpen, getting a couple saves that we have had out of the three. Oh, sorry, I take that back. We have had five saves so far, and Jimmy Garcia being the other one that has been on fire up to this point. And I'm encouraged with Jimmy Garcia right now, because the fact is, usually this time in the season, as we've seen him in his Blue Jays tenure, he looks pretty damn rough right out of the gate. And Jimmy Garcia looks pretty damn good right now. And he's got two saves, as I mentioned, in 8 2/3 innings, and he struck out 11, which is exactly what we needed him to be doing. But I think the more telling thing is in those innings I just mentioned, he's only given up two hits, period. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. A buddy of mine who I talk a lot of baseball with, he's like, hey, who's this new guy that the Jays got, Jimmy Garcia? Like, it's so good.
It's like his third year or fourth
so
year.
Good. Right? So good. Third he's year, like, Yimmy.
Yimmy Morin. Yeah, as I say, this is his third season with the Blue Jays, so that's pretty damn interesting that somehow we're flying that far on like the radar really for a guy that has been one of our more tenured guys.
He's throwing the ball hard every single time, and I mean, I think it's also what you would want and expect from Cabrera, and you're not quite getting it from Cabrera, but I mean, you know, that's what you want from both the two of those. It's funny, we were doing a baseball draft and was coming down to the dregs, and who's the fireballer that we let go last year? Hicks, is that his name?
Oh, Hicks.
Yeah, so he Jordan was like, Hicks. He was ranked, Jordan Hicks, was ranked like 875th in the majors. And I'm like, wow, like that's really there bad. Was, but that being said, Justin Verlander was ranked.
There was talks of the Giants were, yeah. It was really interesting that the Giants were talking about him starting in spring training for them.
Yeah, I know.
So, God, I didn't want to cut you off there, though. I think we got over each other.
No, I just, you know, it's one of those things where you know, like you. I think with the Jays fans were remiss that we were going to let this guy walk, and then the ratings come out for the next season. You're like, oh, okay, probably a good thing that we did. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't seen him yet, so I don't know.
Blue Jays fans listening in, quick dive into your MLB The Show rankings to see if IKF really indeed equals Matt Chapman, or if it's some weird anomaly that we're discovering here on the show. but I digress. The team is trending in the right direction. Hopefully in the midst of this, Jason, we are getting a return to health as the big guns in the back of our bullpen with Eric Swanson and Jordan Romano get to join and push some of these guys we were just mentioning too, they don't need to be the high leverage relievers anymore. You push Rhett Richards, Mesa, Cabrera, and everybody, I'd say, back into their normal roles when you have Romano and Swanson, because you now have probably one of the better 1-2 punches in a bullpen right now. When you actually have, or actually, I'm going to go 1-2-3 with Jimmy Garcia doing what he's doing, with Chad Green doing what he's doing, and then having a healthy Jordan Romano back. That's going to be quite a lockdown group there for those three guys, I think, for the rest of the season.
I do too. I mean, Chad Green is, he's like a rudder right now. And as long as you can get, as long as he can be a horse, as long as he can go out there, if you need him to go and go and go and go and go, you know, I feel like guys like Cabrera kind of he does this, he comes, he goes. He has
Need him to be that lefty guy, not the leverage guy that we were just talking about.
Exactly. Like you need him to throw lefty bullets. And, you know, it's, and Romano had good stuff. I mean, I feel like he's been around a little bit.
Getting it.
Yeah. But he's been around a little bit now. So, I mean, it, people know his weird motion and people, you know, it's not as surprising anymore. And, you know, it's the same as, you know, the fourth or fifth time you go up against a guy, you're more than likely at least going to put a barrel on something, you know? So it's interesting to watch, and you watch the good pitchers, you know, good pitchers make changes. They keep you guessing. My son, last night we played a game against probably the best competition we have in our league. And literally the umpire and the coach from the other team came over and they were like, how does your son make his curveball do that? So, I mean, it's, you know, and some days it doesn't work at all. And yesterday it was untouchable. And, you know, it's fine tuning that. And even when you're, you know, a major leaguer that's been, you know, has 6 or 7 or 10 years of battle under your belt, you're still going to run into nights where you can't make your curveball curve or your breaky ball break or your fastball go fast, even.
Knuckleball, not knuckle.
Hey, I'm noticing that there's more knuckleball. There's a knuckleballer.
Like three of them all of a sudden.
Yeah. One of my kids was telling me that a lot of guys are throwing their slider, their slurve, their whatever they want to call that as a knuckle curve now. So just depending on where they want to put the baseball, they're using this finger as an actual knuckle cushion, you know, so when the ball comes out, it's not rotating and then it gains momentum and tumbles.
That's how it's doing. Yep.
And I've seen
him made a Hall of Fame career because of that. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and so. We've seen, like, I've seen some of the guys in Japan and stuff can actually go against the ability of a ball to turn, and they're making it turn the other way. So they're throwing it hard enough with that open knuckle that it will, the rotation would normally come off your knuckle and fall. They're actually allowing it to come out and letting it turn the other direction. So it's an unhittable pitch because you see it start to break, and naturally a ball can't break.
It goes the other way.
Unless you can throw, you know, 102 mile an hour four seamer, then that's what that tends to do as well. It breaks away just because
I forget the kid's name for the Padres, which, by the way, we might end up having to face him. I'll see if it's one of the guys we have coming into town here, but there's a kid for the that I found from goofing around and playing MLB the Show, because damn, 11 o'clock at night when I can't sleep, that's what I play. So
you should take on Jet. I'll send you the
there
the
you thing. Go
yeah
game on gamer tags go. So in the midst of this whole thing, there's a kid that's on the Padres that actually throws the ball in the 90s, but then he drops a 70-60 mile an hour knuckleball on it with one of his backup pitches.
Yeah.
And in the game, it's like near unhittable because you're trying to gear up for the fastball, and then all of a sudden there's this so you gotta like sit on that was what I've been doing on. So, but to that point, that is who's coming into town, Jason. And then I don't know if you knew this knuckleball trivia tidbit, but there is actually two knuckleballers in the Blue Jays lower end minor league system. I forget their names, but there's two of them.
Well, I feel like one of them, I thought they made a big deal out of one of them in one of the spring training games where they were showing, you know, how hard it is to catch. They were showing like from him from last year, like, where the catcher like fully missing balls and like it hits them, and then they just look and they're like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, it's not a catchable pitch. If you've ever known anybody who could really throw one, it's such a bizarre, weird. Remember R.A. Dickey when the wind would pick up a little bit and they'd be like, well, I might as well just write the next four innings off because nobody's going to touch anything.
So I always equated catching a knuckleball from watching. There's a reason that the Blue Jays always had Josh Tolley on the roster, because he was like the only catcher in Major League Baseball that actually could catch R.A. Dickey, to your point. Eyes. I always equated it to that point where, do you remember in Bull Durham where Kevin Costner walks up to, Nuke the Looch. Yeah. And he says, throw the ball at the damn ball. And he goes, what? I'm pitching a great game. He goes, just trust me. And then he throws the ball, hits the mascot that's dancing around behind home plate. And the batter's like, what the hell? And he looks at Kevin Costner and he goes, dude, what? And he goes, yeah. Oh, I have no idea where it's going to go. Don't dig in too deep.
Yep.
So that's good stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it's interesting to see that we do have some competition coming into town here again, obviously. And the Blue Jays get to square off this weekend with the San Diego Padres. Unfortunately for you, Jason, I'm sorry to say they probably will not be bringing their freaking City Connect jerseys with them, would be my guess.
I wonder when the Jays... Is there any word on when the Jays City Connects are going to be worn? Because Philly wore theirs. The Phillies are
really cool, but they're trying not to take momentum away from anybody. So I would assume they say, okay, the Blue Jays month here is this month, and you're going to have your fun holiday with that stuff. I honestly was wondering if it would be one of those things that it's like, okay, they wear the Canada Day jerseys for that, you know, the beginning of the week there, and then wear the City Connect shirts before or after. You know, I was wondering if they tie that kind of thing to, obviously, you know, the festivities that are Canada Day.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, it'd be a good day to do it.
Yeah. So anyway, Padres, we got Yayrod going to pitch tomorrow. So you excited?
Love that. Love it. Love it. I like to say, embrace the challenge, right? Go at it. Have some fun with it. And, you know, my hope is that that he has another solid outing and they can maybe try and squeeze five out of him. You know, and then just keep on keeping on, just keep pushing that dial as much as you can with them, and see what kind of success that you can get.
You want to say that from watching his outing the other night, his mentality is exactly what I want in somebody coming up and trying to steal that fifth starter. He's got that bulldog kind of like mentality to him. It seems like he's
right.
Clearly excited, but there's 100%. That grinding essence to it. And honestly, felt like the mantra that I always got from watching Mark Burley pitch. And I loved watching Mark Burley. So if the Blue Jays have a reincarnation of his mentality out on the mound, that's exciting, especially for the fifth starter spot like that. Cause you know, the other four are going to keep doing what they're doing or get back on better track. So
yeah, for sure. 100%.
And then, not that it's going to get any easier for the Padres. We're going to have Jose Berríos on Saturday. They haven't announced who's going to pitch for the Padres yet on Saturday. So I don't know if they're doing a bullpen day.
Yeah.
Or somebody's got to come back for an injury that they haven't announced yet. And then we got Bassett versus Joe Musgrove on Sunday. And that'll lead us back into the next week. So assuming we keep this new trend of doing Thursday games, that would line us up for probably having Kikuchi on Monday against the Royals, which, by the way, eek.
Yeah. I was really happy to get Bobby Witt.
Kansas City.
I was really happy to get Bobby Witt like seventh in our draft. I was like, what? Are you guys not watching television or highlights or anything?
I never thought, regardless of the whole hype and everything, the giant contract and all that, I never saw this Bobby Witt Jr. thing coming this hard, this quick.
Wow, he's a good baseball player.
I assumed it was one of those, yeah. But I was assuming, like, all of a sudden, like, around the All-Star break, he would have taken it up a notch. But you look at Major League Baseball in general right now, he's on fire. Gunnar Henderson for the freaking Orioles has been destroying baseballs.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of good stories in Major League Baseball. And like I said, I hope this Yayrod one is the one that's the one that's the Blue Jays piece to that story.
Yeah,
so, me too. But Kansas City, I was trying to pull their record up really quick and I couldn't find it. But they're, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're the second best team in Major League Baseball right now. 12-7.
They've got to be close.
Yes, 12-7, only to be beaten by their division rival. The Cleveland Guardians are 13-6, along with the Yankees. They're 13-6.
Crazy.
So who saw that one coming too? Like, just the fact that I just assumed that the Minnesota Twins were going to run away with that division, even with the lack of pitching they kind of have at the moment. But right now, the Detroit Tigers have the same record as we do and have been looking much improved.
Yep.
Kansas City Royals look like a team that just came out of left field, or maybe out of the fountains. I don't know. and then the Guardians, like I said, I've always said they have a lot of great young talent, but they didn't. They always seemed like they were missing that catalyst piece. But I think they found it in themselves, and maybe it's the is it Luke Voit or not Luke Voit, Steve Voit. That's their new coach.
Yeah.
No more Tito.
I don't know, man. I mean,
so what do you?
It's like I said. There's some weirdness and some properness going on in Major League Baseball right now. Like some of the things that we all assumed would happen are happening, and then you know there's these outliers that are you know like we did. It's not like we didn't think the Dodgers weren't going to be good, and they're really good. You know, like we didn't think that no one thought the Braves were going to suck this year, and they don't. They're great, but like for the Guardians to be
but doing to that point, there's your weird with the Braves. Ronald Acuna Jr. just hit his first home run yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and that's scary. That's some scary stuff. If he's not, if he doesn't have any home runs and they're still dominating, you know,
exactly.
Buckle up. But
yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, and it looks like, as happy as I am to say it, it looks like the Yankees are, you know, probably set for a little bit of a fall here. They've been trending not in the right direction. They're you know, and again, they tend to start eating their own once they have any kind of issue. So, you know, I'm hoping that they'll keep struggling and we'll start to see. But it's interesting because, you know, when you start to go to that group and you start to say, okay, well, who do you think can keep this up? You know, there's only a few of them that really genuinely I feel like they can keep this up. But, you know, I've been surprised many times before and. You know, it's one of those things where you're like I absolutely did not see that coming. But again, that's what I love about baseball is there's certainly more I didn't see that coming than there is, trustworthy teams you can count on the whole way through. So, you know, I think it is what it is. And we're going to see over the next month and a half who will tumble because it's got to happen to somebody. The White Sox aren't going to be as garbage as they are for the whole season. You know, there'll be some balance. There'll be some other things. So.
Like I said, I just think there's some really funny things going on in baseball right now. And I like the one I actually really like is my National League team's always been the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
And that's just because being a Bills fan, I got to respect a baseball team that knows how to tailgate for a fucking baseball game. So it's just fun stuff at the end of the day. But I'm very excited to see where baseball season goes this year in general. And it's nice to see everything not be this nonsense of what we were dealing with the last couple of years with the fighting between the owners and the players, all the other nonsense. It's nice to see just baseball being baseball right now. And I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, 100%.
So, especially if you're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan right now, you got to be excited.
Oh yeah, I mean, come on, it's
look at that one.
Good time to be good time to be a Bucks fan. No, nobody knows what's going to happen 2 months from now, but relish in it while you got it.
Enjoy it while you have it.
Yep.
So, is there anything else you would like to discuss this evening, my friend, as we get near the end of our hour here? Blue Jays fans, while we do bloopers and funs here, if there's anything you want to throw into the chat here, we're listening. We were live here for a reason, and I see a good chunk of you actually in the chat right now. So please hit us up. But Jason, is there anything you would like to talk about or anything you're excited to in the baseball world this weekend?
Well, I mean, I think I'm much looking forward to this series coming up with a very good San Diego team. I think we're going to see a lot of well-pitched games, a lot of really good, fun to watch baseball, which is, you know, it's really what you pay the big bucks for, right? Like, I mean, we want to see these guys perform, and I feel like this is going to be two very good teams going at it. I mean, my prediction.
Lost you on that one, Jason.
Padres are not, there's going to be no, There's going to be no free rides. The Padres are going to come in hard. They're going to.
Well, Jason's internet hopefully levels out here. It's actually that time of the show here, Jason, where we get to do picks to click, if you can actually see me. And you again, may sound like you had a prediction in that, but you cut out, unfortunately, again. Uh-oh. What was your prediction?
Oh, I would say that I think the Jays are going to take two or three. I think we're going to be really overly impressed with how they play this week.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I do think there's something going with how the Blue Jays have been cooking, that this will be another series win right now, especially with the pitching lineup that we're tossing out there this weekend.
Yeah.
More likely, is my opinion.
Who won the pick-to-click last week?
This is a fun one because, you know, that wonderful new default rule we did for who's not going to be here or the guest spot. Last week, the worst hitter on the Blue Jays, the person with the least amount of hits that would be in a starting lineup position, was none other than Dalton Varsho last week. So out of the guys we had, so that was the guest spot pick. Kenny doubled down on Davis Schneider. I had Ernie Clement, and oh no, you had Ernie Clement, and then I had Alejandro Kirk. This funny thing is, those guys all hit last week, but you cannot argue with the fact that over the last week since we recorded last, that Dalton Varsho has 8 freaking RBIs and 4 home runs. So our lack of guest spot, because we've been having so much fun with schedules lately, is kind of, I guess, their first
take the win, take
season.
The W.
Yep, and take the win. But to that point, Jason, seeing we don't get default wins with the guest spot very often, do we want to let the guest spot just carry the bar show over?
Sure.
Or are we going to make them pick the worst one? I think that's what we got to do. I think that's what we got to do for Kenny being out here tonight.
Yeah, he's a carryover.
It's a default. We can either carry him over or, well, funny enough, it's the same person anyway. The Blue Jay with the least amount of hits last week was Davis Schneider. So there you go.
It's opposite so Kenny this year.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't won yet. Well, the whole 2 weeks we've been doing this. He had 2 wins, I think, already last season. So it's your pick, my friend.
I think
going to be the best in Blue Jays baseball.
I'm going with the Dreads at first base. I'm going Vladdy. I think Vladdy's going to he's got a lot of dudes on this other team that he likes. He's got a lot of dudes that he's friends with on this other team, and he likes to beat them. Yeah, he likes to beat Tatis. He likes to beat Manny Machado. So I'm going with Vladdy.
Yeah, so it's a very solid pick, and I don't know if you've heard who the most recent and basically full-time Vlad Whisperer is at this point.
Yeah, Edwin.
Yes.
He's always there.
We'll get some Edwings. Edwing is apparently the, like I said, the personal assistant to Vlad in hitting duties is what it kind of sounds like at this point. There's a very good write-up on Sportsnet about it. If you are looking to read something this evening, I would highly recommend it. And but to that point, you cannot argue with a guy like Edwin Encarnacion coming in and having a special role on this team and trying to take a player to the next level. You know how it is with coaching. It's about getting the right person to listen to at the right time. And Edwin Encarnacion might be that guy that takes Vladdy over the top. You're on mute, man.
I really like what I've seen from Edwin this year. I think he's more involved. I think they've given him a bit of purpose. And I feel like, you know, as a mentor, I think he's working hard. I know he's worked really hard on his English to make sure that he's communicating with everybody, not just a certain few. And I mean, I even saw him having what looked like a pretty deep conversation with Ernie Clement the other day, which, I mean, that's two ends of the spectrum right there.
But to that point, guys that know how to barrel baseballs in that equation, if that leads to more hard contact for Ernie Clement, that's only a win too.
Yep.
So time to end on shenanigans, my friend, and then we'll wrap this thing up. I found what might be the best baseball commercial, in my opinion, of all time. And I don't know if you all might have gotten this one up in Canada. So
hit me.
I happened to be privy to the fact that I was having lunch with a friend today at a bar right down the street and had some burgers, you know, for lunch today. And it's a sports bar, so obviously there's TVs everywhere. And today on the Pat McAfee show, there was none other than the pigeon killer, Randy Johnson. So it got, rather than being the guy that just shows the same clip that everybody's seen over and over and over again, I dug into the archive and found one here that was an old commercial that was for right guard, basically. And it's Jim Brewer hosting this thing. He's like, basically, let's pretend this is the odor strip that's on our right guard deodorant. It odors these guys, and the right guard protective strip is this guy, Randy Johnson, playing dodgeball against him. So, ooh, pretty little caps. These guys are odor. Here's the odor blocker. And he just murders these guys.
So good. It's funny that you would find this one. A clip just came up on my feed for something else where there's this old dodgeball clip and it made the rounds all over the place. It was just like mixed adult dodgeball. But the guy comes running up and he points into the corner and then backhands the ball and hits this girl in the face. And she like jumps up with double gun, you know, double middle fingers. Oh, it's so funny. It's such a good, such a good clip.
So on that same note, I want to show you this other one that came up because I actually was contemplating about picking which one of these and I didn't know which one to pick because the dodgeball one is just so priceless watching the one guy freak out. This is an old Geico insurance commercial, and their whole bit was, is you could save money on your car insurance. Is switching to Geico good for your car insurance? Oh, is getting in a snowball fight with Randy Johnson a bad idea? So, I don't know if you've seen this one or not, Jason, but just seeing the whole piece of the guy's freaking winter coat missing.
I thought these were, like so good.
Best part is after he goes, are you all right? No, just clip me. Anybody gonna notice that? Run away.
Good times.
This is good stuff. But to that point, those are the fun sides of baseball. Yep. I don't know if you remember the one that they had with Roy Halladay a million years ago, too. He was just walking on the beach, and it basically said, must be baseball season at the end of the commercial, but he skips a rock across a pond, and there's a guy fishing out in the pond. It sinks the boat.
Yeah.
Kind of the same idea, but that's it, my friend. Right. Anything else?
That's it. I got to roll. I got a hockey game to go play, unfortunately.
Good deal, Blue Jays fans. If you want peace out while I'm doing the outro, you're more than welcome. Have fun. So, Blue Jays fans, thank you very much for joining us. We see all of you coming in and out of the chat. Please do not hesitate to click on those chat windows and whatever social media platform you happen to be listening on. We are here to chit-chat with you and have fun. Please make sure you drive in here and obviously share the show, too. We want to have chats. The whole point of this show was for us to chat with more Blue Jays fans, interact with the things you all want to talk to. So if you don't give us stuff, you got to keep hearing the nonsense Jason and I get to talk about every day. So get in here. Join the conversation on the Barroom Chat. That is Jay's Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of fansided.com, jaysjournal.com. And until next week, we'll see you later. 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.